Then you may stand. Welcome to Belmont on this Palm Sunday. Good to have you guys here, that's for sure. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate that. Oh, man, it's beautiful outside. Maybe we should go out to the courtyard and do this, right? It was good to have that wind die down a bit because I thought my whole house was going to blow away. Did you get any wind out there in Blue Ridge, Jim? Just a little? All right, yeah, it messed my hair up, so that's how bad it was. So we were out tying our trampoline down yesterday. It was so bad. We're like, this thing's going to fly off to, like, Kansas or somewhere if we don't strap it down. So. Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Yeah, it's the kind of wind that would wake you up in the middle of the night if you're not careful, so. Well, hey, go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to continue on in our series called Your Kingdom Come, and the message tonight is called Speaking from the Heart. All right, so you've probably heard somebody get up in a situation like this before and just say, hey, you know what, or maybe it was at a graduation or at a funeral or somewhere like that, and they would get up and they would say something like, you know, guys, I just want to speak from the heart. You ever heard anybody say that before? Yeah, I think we've all heard somebody say that. The truth of the matter is that most of the time, all of us are speaking from the heart. That's what Jesus tells us in the passage that we're going to read today, is that we are speaking from the heart, and sometimes we don't even like to admit that. The things that come out of our mouths are actually not just an uh-oh, or not just an oops, or not just a, well, I was in a bad mood, but that's actually the thing that was actually inside of you to begin with, and it just took something in life bumping into you a little bit to make that thing slip out of your lips and then land there for other people to see, perhaps. And so, or you might do that when no one else is around, and the real thing that's in your heart, boom, comes out a little bit easier, and then maybe you're more of a professional Christian, so when you're around other folks, maybe you don't say those same things or do those same things because, you know, it just wouldn't be nice, right? So we can remember on Palm Sunday, the original, when our Lord and Savior rode into town on the donkey, on a colt, and people were yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. That wasn't really what they were saying didn't actually line up with their actions just a few days later, because they wound up shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And it didn't take very long for that change to happen inside of them and that change to happen in their words. And so we certainly need to be a people that are taking a look at the things that we are saying and the actions that we are doing, because it's an actual indicator of what is going on inside of us. And so let's pray, ask the Lord to bless our time together, and then we'll jump in. So, Lord, thank you so much for Jesus, for the day that he rode into Jerusalem with his face set toward the cross and his determination to make a way for us to be able to have salvation in him. Lord, for him to be able to set us free from the bondage of sin and to be able to have a chance, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to you. God, I pray that you would help us as your people to be a people who have good fruit in our lives, and God, that would come from the inside, and Lord, that it would be displayed on the outside. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So tonight we're going to be going over Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. But before we pick up there, let me just remind you what's happened in verses 22 through 32, and that's this, is that, well, really in all of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has had this run-in with the Pharisees, and they have a dispute over what's allowable to do on the Sabbath. And so Jesus pushed back on their man-made traditions, and he said, hey, I'm Lord of the Sabbath, right? I made the Sabbath, so I think I get to decide what's allowable to do on the Sabbath. And of course, he's right. And so they didn't like that, and they left there that day going away. The Bible tells us they left there that day going away, and it says in verse 14, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. And so they already had it in their heart and in their mind that they weren't going to see this guy any other way. He had to be destroyed because he was coming up against them and their traditions. And so we pick up just a few verses later in verse 22, and there's a demon-possessed man or a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. And so the crowds that were around there began to ask this question, can this be the son of David? Like, could this be the Messiah, the prophesied one? That's the son of David. It's just another way of saying the promised Messiah. And so they began to ask this question. And of course, that infuriated the Pharisees because they had already predetermined how they were going to view Jesus. They didn't like how he was approaching the Sabbath. They didn't like how he stood up to them. And now to have other people begin to realize who he really was infuriated them. And so they lobbed this thing out of their mouth saying, no, he's not the son of David. He's not the Messiah. Instead, who he is that he's a guy who's casting out demons by Beelzebul. He's casting out demons by the prince of demons. And so they were trying to make a case to the people that Jesus was only getting rid of these demons because he himself was demonic. And of course, that's a pretty big, bold statement for anybody to make against God. And so they were calling him out like that, and he has a few choice words to say to them. Of course, he just uses logic at first to say, well, would it really make any sense for Satan to cast out Satan because a kingdom divided against itself can't stand? That doesn't make sense. Sure, maybe in one instance, he might have conspired to do something like that, but this is something that Jesus was doing time and time and time again, was going around healing people, casting out demons, and doing good. And his actions did not line up with the actions of evil. And so Jesus goes on to tell them that basically what they're doing is they are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and that they need to be really careful because the words that they're saying could make it so that they would actually become unforgivable. Like they have allowed their hearts to become so hard that salvation is not going to come to them. And so that's where we pick up, and Jesus continues right along on this same thread or this same line of thinking in verse 33. So the message tonight is called Speaking from the Heart. And we're really going to hit just three things here. We're going to see an illustration about a tree, about a treasure, and then how our words are a testimony to us or against us, right? So we got a tree, a treasure, and a testimony. So let's pick up reading in verse 33. It says this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So Jesus gives this illustration basically saying that, you know, if the roots of a tree are bad, then the fruit that comes out of it is going to be bad. And the same is true. He was trying to make an illustration not about gardening, right? But he's trying to give us an illustration to say that if the root in your life, that is your heart, is bad, then what comes out of you is going to be bad. And so he's putting this on these Pharisees saying that it's not surprising that the fruit that you're displaying is bad because deep down your heart has not been changed or transformed, but it's actually bad fruit that's coming out. It's like the heart is the root and the words are the fruit. So your words are like just a gauge of what's actually going on inside of you. And so he gives this illustration of this tree. And the same can be said for you and I in that the fruit in our lives is on display. What happens a lot of times, though, is that this fruit comes out in our lives and we might even notice this fruit. Anybody have any fruit in your life that maybe you're not proud of, maybe like a bad attitude here or a slip up in a word there or holding on to a grudge over here? Anybody perfect like Tim or no? Yes, but what we like to do sometimes with this fruit is we like to pick it, look at it, and go, well, yeah, I see what this is, but, and we try to justify it, right? Well, the thing is this fruit's bruised and beaten and rotten because of so-and-so. like they did this, they caused this. Now the reverse is true. You could go over as a tree inspector to somebody else's tree, right? And you could notice fruit in their lives. And what we tend to do as humans is we tend to inspect other people's fruit. Keegan's known as a fruit inspector. We tend to inspect the fruit in other people's lives. I don't even know what that means. So we'll edit this from the... Sorry, Keegan. So obviously I've got some I got some issues going on myself here apparently.
That's from me.
What we tend to do is judge other people's actions or attitudes harshly and then give ourselves a pass. Like make excuses for rotten fruit in our lives and then continue to allow it to be produced. But then in other people, we notice that and we don't cut them a break. Am I right? That's true a lot of times. And so that's why Jesus has given us this illustration and nailing it right back to this heart issue. Same thing in this next illustration about a treasure. Let's read this, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? Rhetorical question. You can't. You can't speak actual good. You might be able to pretend like you're speaking good, but the truth of the matter is that people will eventually be able to see through that because your talk is poisonous like a viper. For out of the abundance of the heart, and this is kind of a central verse here in this passage, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So in this illustration, Jesus is likening our hearts to a treasure chest. And he's saying that there in that treasure chest, we have stored up things. And if we have stored up things that are good, things that are holy, things that are right, then when the time comes for that chest to be opened, then what comes out of that are good things. But if evil things are stored up in there, then when that's open, that Pandora's box is open, then evil is going to come out. It's just a matter of fact. It's just the truth, the reality of this world and how we're wired is that is the way that it is. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that we are putting into ourselves, into our minds and into our lives, in front of our eyes? What things are we storing up into our hearts that are now a part of this treasure chest called our heart? Another way of saying that is, what are the things that we actually treasure?